fat grows day to day. Amen. As he gives us more revelation, amen, we're so thankful.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Hamilton, you might take up the offering. Hold the fort, for I am coming. Hold the fort, for I am coming. Jesus, signal still. Oh, let us wait the answer back to heaven. By thy grace we will. Oh, let us hold. Precious Heavenly Father, we are a privileged people, Lord, to be able to take our needs before you this evening. Lord, knowing you're the author and the finisher of our faith, Lord, we have all our trust and confidence in you, Lord, that regardless what you decide to do for us, Lord, we know it's the right way. Lord, we are thankful, Lord, that we don't have to depend on our own ideas and, Lord, our thoughts, but, Lord, we can lean on you. Leaning on the everlasting arm, we are so thankful, Lord. Lord, all the revelation, Lord, you've given us, Lord, we ask for more.
Yes.
Lord, we are gathered here tonight, Lord, to gather all the revelation, Lord, that you will give us. Lord, we're so thankful. Lord, for we know that's what's going to take us on out of this old world. Lord, we appreciate you this night. Lord, as we come before you, Lord, with our needs, Lord, we ask you to take care of each and every hand that was raised, Lord, to you know the need behind it, Lord. You know our hearts. Lord, you know what we dwell upon during the day, Lord. Lord, whether it be the family or family member or, Lord, just a bride all over the earth, Lord. Lord, it's such a turmoil out there, Lord. And it's going to take you, Lord, your predestination, Lord, to get us through. And we're so thankful. You saw us in your great mind. But, Lord, we ask you to heal the bodies, heal the minds, give rest to those that need it. Lord, get us ready to go in that great rapture. Lord, we ask you tonight, Lord, for revelation once more. Lord, just once more, Lord, just give us revelation of that precious word. Lord, let us take another step on that great ladder, Lord, and never look back. Oh, just have your way now in the remainder of this service. Everything that's said and done, only be for your glory and your honor. In the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. God is so good.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Anyone have a song tonight that would like to sing? Sisters, I'll ask you to come.
They say they know and understand his word. They speak great things and call it revelation. But their lives prove it's just their own interpretation. God doesn't need anyone to interpret for him. All he needs is a vessel that's yielded.
Stand if you will. We ask our brother to come. Let's sing that little chorus. He is here. Amen.
Yes.
He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. He is here. Hallelujah.
For a moment of prayer. Precious Lord, we are so grateful for your mercy and your grace, and Lord, to know that you are here with us tonight. And Lord, it may be my voice that'll renew and read scriptures and refresh our minds to the words that you have laid up for us. But Lord, it's only the work of the Holy Spirit that can ignite these things, Lord, and make them more real to us and make us a partaker, Lord, of the very words of which we'll speak. Lord, we just humbly ask that you continue to reveal yourself to us, Lord. As we humbly come before your word, Lord, and renew our minds, Lord, we ask you to do the work of the Holy Spirit to feed us, Lord, and to cause us to grow and to continue to press, Lord, for that mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And Lord, we just humbly ask your blessings upon your word this evening, Lord, and bless our time of fellowship here around your precious word, and just may something be said, Lord, to strengthen and to encourage, to keep us pressing. And we'll never fail to see you receive the glory and the honor for it all. In the most precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. He's so precious. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I probably got about a six-hour sermon, but you know we're trying to fit it in 30 minutes. So we'll see where we get to. Amen. It just seemed like it kept growing. You just keep seeing things. But while you're still standing, let's turn back over to the Isaiah. We read this Sunday before last, as our pastor finished. Let's just renew our minds to this. And amen. Just renew our minds to a few things. The prophet said, and praying that it'll stir the heart, it'll be a help to someone. Amen.
Yes, amen.
But in Isaiah, the 55th chapter, in the 8th verse, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and make it bring forth bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. May the Lord bless me in his word, and you may be seated. What a wonderful promise he's given us. Amen. Hallelujah. And there's many wonderful scriptures you could, you know, he said, I'm the Lord. He planted it and he watered it. And oh my, he watches over it. Hallelujah, his word to watch it take place. But if you would, let's turn over to the book of Acts and read a very familiar scripture. Amen. As I said, I've been reading a lot of things, so I'm praying that I can condense it enough that you'll catch a small picture and the Holy Spirit will just spark something in our hearts with a few quotes we have. But here in Acts, and catch what Paul was speaking here in the 20th chapter and the 25th verse. And as he's declaring here, he says, Now behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching into the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Amen. And what a statement. Paul could say he had not held nothing back, but what the Holy Spirit gave him to deliver, that he delivered in the full counsel to the church. And if you would, let's turn over to Peter, the second chapter. Amen. It's 2 Peter in the first chapter. And let's just pick up about the 10th verse. And if you'll just bear in mind the things our pastor's been bringing and the quotes that he was sharing and the stressing of the prophet on, as even as he was saying Sunday night, that stress on just live ever so close. Pay attention. Stay in tune. You know, that paraphrasing a little bit, but as we get there. But so Peter's here in the second chapter, in the first verse, first chapter of the second Peter in the 10th verse. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fail. Now keep that in mind as we get to the finishing up of this chapter. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. And we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Amen. And it just struck me a little special. Maybe by the time I'm done, it'll mean a little more to you. Amen. But I want you to think about that. But even at that final, think of that first when Peter began. Wherefore, brethren, if give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fail. Amen. God speaking to his little bride. You seek out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Look how many times it's written into the scriptures. If we watch and wait. The Holy Spirit's watching over His Word to fulfill what He said it would do. Amen.
Amen.
But I want you to think about that. As Brother Branham read that in the message, God is His own interpreter. And I'm just going to catch a few. Like I said, I had a lot I'd like to read, but it'd take a long, long time. So we're just going to condense it down a little bit and catch a few paragraphs. But here in, this is about paragraph 6, and that message was preached in February the 5th, 64. But he had read that scripture, and he just said this little comment after it. He said, "May the Lord add the blessing to the reading of His Word. I'm going to take for this subject, God is His own interpreter. And we are living in a day of confusion." And I want you to think, you know, God sent a prophet in this age.
Yes.
But yet the churches seem to be in such a state of confusion.
Yes.
He says, we're living in a day of confusion. We're living in a day that what men and women hardly know what to do. Everything, it seems to be in a turmoil. Everything, it seems to be there's so many different ways to look. That's Satan to do that. Now, God cannot judge the people righteously, all right, unless there be some standard that He has to judge them by. And the Bible says that He'll judge all men by Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And Jesus Christ is the Word. In St. John, the first chapter, He said, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." Amen.
Yeah.
And oh my, think of what Brother Branham said in the message, God hiding Himself in simplicity. How He can hide Himself in such simplicity that the wise miss it a million miles, but He reveals Himself to those that were predestinated to receive it. Amen. Keep just bear it in mind. Here in the message, this was in His Unfailing Words of Promise. This was preached January 20th, 1964. And He says, paragraph 37, you've heard all these things, but just let the Holy Spirit put it into our hearts. He says, "Now when I come to Christ, I knowed I had to have a foundation somewhere to stand on. I was ordained in the Missionary Baptist Church, and then when I seen the doctrine of the Missionary Baptist Church was so contrary to the Scripture, then I could not place or base my hopes upon the doctrine of the Missionary Baptist Church. And then I thought I would go over to my mother's church. She was Methodist, and I thought I would go over there. And I found again. So I know that if Jesus come for the Methodist people, He would sure leave the Baptist. And if He come for the Baptist, He would sure leave the Methodist. But I found in both groups fine people. And I knowed if He come for a church, which church would He come for? 900 and something different organizations. He isn't going to judge the people by the church. He's going to judge the people by Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the Word. St. John, the first chapter. In the beginning was the Word. Notice how many times He repeats this little phrase. Amen. In the beginning, before it was a word, it was a thought. And then in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It was all God. And then as God gave out His Word, what would be predestinated His church before the foundation of the world, it would appear before Him without spot or wrinkle. And the timepiece is moving right on down. And it will be there, a church, a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. And I'm trusting that we're all here tonight members of that church. And there's only one way to enter that church, not by any denomination. You enter it by a new birth. And you say, well, I believe that. And if you do, then you'll punctuate every word of that Bible with an amen.
Yes.
Everything the Bible says, because it is Christ. And you are part of Christ. And the Holy Spirit revealing this truth, each age has had its allotment of the Word to be fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
And just to kind of drop this in there, you take like our pastors mentioned it in the past, but we see it. You see the carefulness of the church, the women, how they dress, and the worldliness that's creeping back in. If they believed the Word, and the Word is here. Brother Branham didn't come preaching a doctrine that you have to dress a certain way, but he came saying the Holy Ghost will show you. And that Word was already written. He didn't hand down a set of rules. He didn't have to set down. But he just pointed back into the Scriptures.
Yes.
He went right back to the Word. It wasn't a new word. He just took the Word that was already laying there and just highlighted it.
Yes.
And said, look here. And look here. And look here. Think about all the word that God, the work that God done through a prophet in this age.
Yes.
Don't let it pass us by. Amen.
Amen.
As he goes on here, he says, and if you do, you'll punctuate every word in that Bible with an amen. Everything the Bible says, because it is Christ, and you're part of Christ, and the Holy Spirit revealing this truth. Each age has had its allotment of the word to be fulfilled. And God always sends a prophet. The word comes to the prophet, the written word, a discerner of the thoughts of the heart. Did you always notice the prophet being that he knowed that he was a prophet is because that the word of God discerned the thoughts in the heart, foretells things, forth teller and teller forth. And did you ever take the dictionary, the old Hebrew dictionary, and see what the word means? It's the one that has the divine revelation of the written word and how it's vindicated. He foresees things that he foretells, and they come to pass. Now, how does that type with the scriptures? Just exactly. If there be one among you who is spiritual or a prophet, I, the Lord, will make myself known to him and speak to him in visions. And if these things come to pass, then it's God. If they don't come to pass, then don't hear him. Don't fear him at all. Just ignore it. But God's word is always right.
Yes.
Therefore, that's how they knew of the man that was speaking, whether he had the right revelation of the word or not. The divine word that's written is because he had the word of the Lord come to him. And now we stay there, and we place ourselves and our confidence upon this word. Amen. And just let it bear it out here. Amen. But how our confidence is not in cunningly devised fables. But men of old, moved by the Holy Spirit, wrote these things. Even the very words that I'm rereading to you by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, this word was presented and preached, and someone wrote it down, just as they heard Jesus speak, and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John penned down what was said. God making sure that his word was still ringing out across this land today to bring forth a reality to a people. Now, this is in the Laodicean church age, and let me just catch this. You've heard this before, but just refreshing our minds. Before we close this section on the messenger of the Laodicean age, we must seriously consider these two thoughts. First, this age will have one prophet messenger. Revelation 10:7 says, when he, singular, shall begin to sound, there has never been an age where God gave his people two major prophets at one time. He gave Enoch alone, and he gave Noah alone, and he gave Moses. He alone had the word, though others prophesied. John the Baptist came alone. But now in this last day, there is to be a prophet, not a prophetess, though in this age there are more women purporting to give God's revelation than men. And the infallible word says that he, the prophet, will reveal the mysteries to the end time people and turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. There are those who say that God's people are going to come together through a collective revelation. I challenge that statement. It's a bold and valid assumption in the face of Revelation 10:7. Now, I do not deny that the people will prophesy in this last age, and their ministries can and will be correct. I do not deny that there will be prophets, even as in the days of Paul, when there was one, Agabus, a prophet who prophesied of a famine. I agree that is so, but I deny upon the infallible evidence of the Word of God that there is more than one major prophet messenger who will reveal the mysteries as contained in the Word, and who has the ministry to turn the hearts of the children to the fathers. Thus saith the Lord, by his unfailing word, stands and shall stand and be vindicated. There is one prophet messenger to this age.
Yes.
On the basis of human behavior alone, anyone knows that where there are many people, there is even a divided opinion or lesser points of a major doctrine, which they all hold together. Who then will have the power of infallibility, which is to be restored in this last age? For this last age is going to go back to manifesting the pure word bride. That means we will have the word once again as it was perfectly given and perfectly understood in the days of Paul. How was it understood? The Holy Ghost revealed to those in that time, book of Acts. Born again, filled with the Spirit. Under the days of Paul. And I will tell you who will have it. It will be a prophet as thoroughly vindicated, or even more thoroughly vindicated, than was any prophet of all the ages from Enoch to this day, because this man will of necessity have the capstone prophetic ministry, and God will show him forth. He won't need to speak for himself. God will speak for him by the voice of the sign. Amen. And by God's grace, our eyes have been opened to see that prophet was thoroughly vindicated.
Yes,
and even today, People that don't follow him and follow the things that he taught still declare he was a prophet and still declare that they saw God work in his life and in his ministry. They can't deny that that was God. But oh my, there's the same as it was on the days when Jesus walked this earth. He was only given to a few to truly see who he was, to truly realize what he was speaking. But if you would, let's turn it back over here to Luke, the 24th chapter. We used this a couple services ago just to catch a small verse out of here. But God has sent us that prophet to declare, to tie up the loose ends. I don't have to try to convince anyone in here that that's happened. Amen. We've seen God bring that to pass. But I want you to catch in this next quote, a couple quotes, the simplicity of what God is doing and how he's working in our lives and in our hearts. But in Luke 24, amen, I thought I put my marker in there, I didn't. Luke 24, and let's just catch right here, this is the story where they were on the road to Emmaus. We went through this a couple services ago. But just to catch this, about the 25th verse, and then we'll read what the prophet said. He said, "Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken." And oh my, how it ought to just strike our hearts in a special way. Amen. We could be in the same place. They had heard everything these prophets had to say. Yeah. They had been reading it. They'd been walking with Jesus. They'd heard him say it over and over and over again. They were listening to it. And he says, "Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory?" Now think about it just a little bit. He could have expounded in a whole new way. He could have, you know, as the Pharisees came to him and said, "Just tell us plainly. Just tell us plainly if you be the Christ." But he didn't. But he, beginning at Moses, oh, let's go back to Genesis. And then start in the beginning, he said, "And all of the prophets he expounded unto them in all scriptures the things concerning himself." Amen. I want you to notice what God has done down through time. Look at John. He didn't have to declare who he was. The scriptures before him declared who he was in his time and place here. The apostle Paul, the scriptures, it showed in his life. The scriptures had set before him. It was evident. And then we see the prophet of this day come on the scene. He didn't have to declare himself, but God, through the works of the Holy Spirit, declared plainly and through the words of this Bible who he was and what took place in his ministry. Amen. Oh my, and look how many people tried and still confused him. You know, some tried to make him Jesus Christ. Some tried to do this. Some tried to lift him to this spot. He was a prophet used by God to bring a message to a people. But oh my, so many were still confused by what he did. But here in this is in the Message, Modern Events Made Clear by Prophecy. Paragraph 266, and this was preached December 6, 65. He says, "Notice how Jesus made himself known to these disciples." Now, and we'll close. These two disciples, Caiaphas and Cleopas, rather his friend. Now, we're in the resurrection, the morning after the resurrection, the first resurrection. What a beautiful morning. Jesus is up from the dead, living among his people. What a beautiful thought. And he's here the same today as he was that day, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Revealing himself more today than he has in any other age since that day. Come through the wheat, stalk, and shuck is all past now. And we're into the wheat again. See, we're back into the grain. Known as and watched now as he made himself known to these people. Now remember, as their Messiah, just before we close, of the promised word of the age. Notice, he appeared unto, as he said to do, to all the prophets. Notice, fools and slow of heart to believe that all the prophets has wrote of him that had to be fulfilled. Watch him. He refers right back to the word of God. He never came right out and told them, "Don't you know me? I am the Messiah that's resurrected." He never said that. He just gave them the scripture like John did and the rest of them, see? They have to pick that out themselves. They have to judge for themselves. And he says, don't go to sleep. Judge for yourself. Fools, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets has said had to come to pass. What a rebuke to them that claimed that they knew him. Notice how he approached the subject. He never come right out and said, And never, and as I said a few minutes ago, he said, well, don't you know me? I'm your Messiah for this age. Don't you know that I am he? The real servant of God never identifies himself that way. The scripture identifies who he is. Sure, he will. But called their attention to what the prophets had said to look for in the Messiah's age. Go right back. Fools and slow of heart, and not to believe that all that the prophets said about the Messiah should come to pass. And he, as John, let the word of the Bible identify him, what he was to them. That should have been made plain enough. If the word had identified him, that should be plainly who the promise was they was looking at. They knowed someone had to come on the scene at that time. And he said, now let me show you what the word said is supposed to happen in this day. Am not I tonight trying to tell you word by word, even to the position, the place, the names, the numbers, everything else, all the signs, times, and everything, that we're right here at the end time? Surely you can see what I'm talking about. See, look, that's so plain it should not need no more identification. He said he was here on earth. Search the scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life. They are what testify what I am and who I am. And notice he began with Moses and the prophets. A prophet, Deuteronomy 8:15. I'm watching the scriptures here. Deuteronomy 18:15. Moses said, the Lord your God. See, God spoke to him on the mountain, thundering out, and said, let Moses speak, not God, lest we perish. He's saying the people did. And then he said, well, I won't speak to them no more like this, but I will raise them up a prophet. And that's been his message all the way through. And that's what's got to settle the whole thing at the end. It's just got to, because the word of the Lord has to come to the prophet. It's the only thing it can come to. And if it don't, it breaks God's words and makes him tell something wrong, see? It'll never go to a seminary. It goes to a prophet. And the prophet is sent from God, ordained, and you know it is not what man says. And we had Elijahs and coats and everything else, mantles and all kinds of nonsense, and went off into organizations and everything else. But there will come on this earth, by God's promise, a genuine servant of God, identified by God, by his word being the answer of this day, that'll set that bride in order, a real little minority of the church, and take it up. That's right. He'll introduce, behold, there's the one I talked about, see, that'll come. And how that Brother Branham's whole ministry, he was pointing us back to the word. There ain't one place you can go that it was, go search the scripture. Here's the scripture. And he kept laying it out, and he laid it out, and he laid it out. And our pastor here a couple services ago, before when he started, he went back and read Ephesians 4 and how that God gave that ministry to the church for the edifying of the body of Christ, that by the moving of the Holy Spirit and the renewing of our minds back to his word, and how we're... Just think in the simplicity of God. Look at the messages we hear when we come in and sit underneath the anointing here. We're not listening to cunningly devised fables. We're not coming in here listening to an educational. We're not getting slideshows and pictures and, oh, let me show you this. And I mean that in all fairness, not to. But I want you to look at the moving of the Holy Spirit. God in simplicity. He gave his word. He watches over his word. And as long as it's coming straight from those pages, the Holy Spirit is here to run it right back through. Well, we've heard it before. Think of the message, the seven seals. We've probably read it, probably listened to it many, many times. And if the Lord should tarry, we'll read it and listen to it many more times before he comes. But each and every time that we hear that precious word, the Holy Spirit is there. And at the time and place, he just opens up our understanding. I never saw that before. I've read that how many times? It never struck my heart like that. Think about those men as they stood there. They were able to say, did not our hearts burn within us as he spoke? He was just renewing their minds back to what they already knew. Bringing it back. What did Peter say? Even though you know these things, I will stir up your mind by way of remembrance. The Holy Spirit is there to do the work. He sent the prophet. He sent the word. The identification was there to prove it forth. There's no reason for a failure to confusion. Take God at his word. We don't go back here and say, Peter didn't mean that. We don't go back here and look and say, well, Paul didn't mean that. No, we take him at what God had recorded. He said what he meant. God made sure that it was in the word. And oh my, as we come in here in simplicity and humbleness of mind and set underneath the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and God's word comes forth, it's just He has a way that only the Holy Spirit can.
Amen.
And He is making it real to those that are hungry and thirsty,
yes,
and
yes,
searching after righteousness. There is a reality to God's precious word.
Mm-hmm.
But oh my, God is working on a little bride to bring her to that place. Oh my, if we would but open up our hearts to a greater. Just think, He didn't reveal Himself to everyone. Think of the little woman at the well. She went back, Brother Branham said, she was able to recall the scriptures. When the Messiah comes, He will do this. Jesus didn't say, I'm a Messiah, I'm coming. No, He just performed the works that was predestinated for Him to do. And by it matching the word, it caught her attention. And then she said, I know when the Messiah cometh, He will do this. And He said, I am He. Oh my, then it was sealed. What she was already feeling, it was over then. She knew. And nobody, Brother Branham said, it was like trying to put a fire out on a windy day. And that's the way it is when the Holy Spirit dips these things into your heart. There ain't nobody going to remove it from you. There is no confusion. What about this? What about that? Why is it? No, God centered His word. He sent it forth in such simplicity. But human reasoning, His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are so much higher.
Yeah.
But we've got to get out of our own reasoning and our own conception of God's word and allow Him by the leadership of the Holy Spirit to dip into our hearts.
Hallelujah.
Those things that He's already delivered and set forth for us in this day. Amen.
Yes.
Oh my, He will make Himself known.
Yes, He will.
Oh my. Let's see here. Hallelujah. It's so hard to take that sometimes and just grab a portion without getting everything in there. Amen. But here in the Ephesian church age, he had started talking, and we read this not too long ago, but he said, God's intention for His creation, man, is to express His words. In Genesis, Adam was given the word to live by, and you know, he went on down through and talked about how they fell, and he said, and then but he talked about Christ. And he says, now to these sons of God who by Him overcame, and are given the privilege of paradise of God, the constant fellowship of Jesus Christ, there will never be any more separation from Him. Whither He goes, the bride will go. What is His, He shares with His beloved on a joint heir relationship. And the secret things will be revealed. The dark things will be made plain, and we shall know as we are known, and we shall be like Him. And this is the heritage of the overcomer, who has overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony of Jesus Christ. And he said, how we long for that day when the crooked roads will be straightened and we will be with Him time without end. May that day hasten its appearance, and may we hasten to obey His word and thereby prove our worthiness to share His glory.
Yes.
He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. How tragic it is that that first age did not listen to the Spirit, but instead listened to man. But thank God, in the last age, there will be a group rise up, the true bride of the last day. She will listen to the Spirit. And in that day of gross darkness, the light will return by the pure word. And we will return to the power of Pentecost to welcome back the Lord Jesus Christ. The reality of seeing that in our lives. This is in the message, God's power to transform. The true predestinated believers will stay with the word because they are part of that word. Oh, wandering stars, how long will you wander? You Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, outsiders, whatever you might be, wandering stars from church to church and from pillar to place and television to television, world to world, why don't you come on? He longs to have fellowship with you. He is longing for you. He wants to transform you by the renewing of your mind, not to the church or to the denomination, but to His word, which you are a part of, if that desire is in you. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And He has sent His transforming power to bring you out of this deformity of religion that you're in and this deformity of chaos that we're in. God sent His transforming power, His word, vindicated and proven, to bring you out of this religious deformity of ignorance that you're walking in, naked, blind, and miserable, and don't know it. Think of it, friends. You know, God sent His transforming power to fulfill His word and change the whole body of Sarah and Abraham. Transformed an old man and an old woman because He promised He would do it. And what God promises to do, that he'll do. There is nothing, anything, any perverted thing, God can't do nothing with it. But he will keep his word, and he'll send his spirit. The Lord planted it. I will water it day and night, lest someone should pluck it from my hands. Yes. The Bible says so. So just think of it. He sent forth his word, and it won't go out void, but it will go forth and come forth into what he sent it to bring forth the work that he planned for it to do in our lives. Oh, may we truly, I pray we're interested in the word that God is dealing with our hearts. You know, we've heard these things. We've been reading the message for a long time. But God has a time and place for everything to fall right into line, right into place. And God's sovereign. He knows. He's in charge of the timepiece. He's watching every piece of it. And he knows. But oh my, there's going to be a little bride that's truly, he's going to make himself known like he never has before. She's going to catch that revelation, and away she's going to go. But oh my, may we truly keep our eyes focused on him, the word. And truly let our lives truly be hid in the pages of this word as a mirror. Looking in that mirror, how it ought to just burn within our hearts to see that more and more. You know, it's just so much going on, and this, just all kinds of stuff taking place. But how great it is to see God, just, you can't explain it. Amen. God works with the individual. And only those individuals can say, God is dealing with my heart. I see where he's pulling me to. He's illuminating these things. These things are becoming bigger. Yeah. But oh my, don't fail to see. God sent his word. It's laying here.
Yes.
He doesn't need my help to try to make it a better picture than what he delivered. He sent it just the way he wanted.
Yes.
Jesus spoke just as he needed to. Think about it. He spoke the same words that to many were utter confusion. Utter chaos in the days that he walked the earth. But there were some that just, Lord, where would we go? For you alone have the words of eternal life. A predestinated seed, there's something that just pulls them, and it draws them, and it holds them. Through the hot sun, the dry deserts, it doesn't matter. They stay right there, and the Holy Spirit is there watching to take care and watch over them and bring them to the place that he's got it predestinated for them. Oh my, I pray we're watching. I pray we're looking and looking up for our redemption draweth nigh. And may we be watching the signs. All this, think of the roadmap that's been laid out before us. We see all this taking place in the world. We see the chaos in the world systems. You see it all happening. Floods like we've never seen, earthquakes and tsunamis, and the world's in turmoil, but it has to come. It's all part of God's plan, but he didn't leave us to wander. He just said, be found in him. Amen. And all that's what we want to do is to find our lives hid in Christ. Amen. I had a couple more quotes another time. Amen. God is so good. You know, when you get to reading, it's hard to think about how do I fit all of this. And I said that I left a lot of stacks back there. You could just, it just makes you want to read. I just, you know, there's three pages there, and I just took one quote off of. But if you read all three pages together, maybe I shortened it up too much. But there's just beautiful. God's word is so beautiful to see what he's doing for us. And are we truly interested in what he's doing? Am I looking for it? You know, sometimes we get to looking too much and we miss God because we're looking past the simplicity of what he's trying to show us. But may we ask God to take our minds over and to break us down humbly before him. And Lord, just open up my eyes that I can see what you're trying to say to us through the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Oh my, amen. And we pray that God will continue to bless our pastor, to give him the wisdom to bring those things that we have need of. And you know how great it is to, this isn't to lift up a pastor or nothing, but God gave gifts to the church. And to that church, it's a wonderful thing to the believer to see that God thought enough of them to make sure that the pure word is being delivered to them. It's wonderful to have shouting, jumping services. That's what the Holy Spirit wants. Nothing wrong with that. But it's good to sit down underneath the quietness of the Holy Spirit and just let the Holy Spirit deal with your heart as God's word is being renewed to our hearts and to our minds and to bring it to a reality. Amen. I pray God will make it real. You know, you can come in and have a wonderful message preaching and feel some wonderful sensations. Boy, that's really good. That really touched me. Oh, that's wonderful. But was it the emotion behind that ministry, or was it just an emotion you got caught up in? Or did the word truly dip down inside, grab a hold? And it was like a windy fire, a fire on a windy day, or something down in there that just can't be put out. But oh my, Brother Branham showed us that God's prophet spoke. They would swap sensations for the truth of this hour that's been given. And oh my, as we see these things, how it ought to just stir our hearts to be found studying God's word, reading God's word, and making sure we know, not waiting for service to service to find out what God said about it. But in my heart, there's a renewing, there's a searching, a hunting. Lord, make yourself real to me. Amen. Oh, he's so real. You sisters can come to the instruments if you would. Amen. I don't know. I pray you can take something from God's word. Hallelujah. And sometimes you just feel like you just don't do it justice. Amen. But God is precious. Amen. And he's real. He's real in my soul. Amen. Let's stand and sing that little chorus with me if you would. My God is real. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Ellis, you might have to help me, or Brother Josh.
My God is real. He's real in my soul. My God is real, for he has washed and made me whole. His love for me is like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. My God is real, he's real in my soul. My God is real, for he has washed and made me whole. His love for me is like your gold. My God is real, I can feel him in my soul.
Amen. Couldn't help but to think of just one little thing to put together there. It made me think about, you know, talking about those Pharisees. And tell us plainly if thou art the Christ. Well, it's kind of like some want to do on the seven seals. Just tell us plainly what it is. No, something the Holy Ghost has to reveal. But tell us plainly if thou art the Christ. And Peter, being elected with the revelation, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. What a beautiful comparison there. You know, to see that those that wasn't elected, they just tell us plainly. And there's a lot of people that lean on the ministry to do that, to just tell us what it is, and it's whatever our preacher says. And that ain't the way it is. It's revealed. Amen. Because a lot of people lean on that, just whatever the pastor says, that's what they believe. Well, that ain't the way it is. No way. Nope. This is all about God revealing, you see. So it's just wonderful thing. There's many things and many other things he was talking about tonight. Just very good. Amen. Wasn't it?
Amen.
Amen. All right, say something. Amen. I'll tell you what, sometimes we need a little more noise around here. Somebody saying amen, you know. But we love the Lord, that's for sure. And we know we're on our way to heaven. Amen. I was thinking about a little song. If I can think of it again, I'd kind of like to sing it tonight before we go. Just a short little verse. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Amen. Because tomorrow may have some pretty rough things come up, you know. We may have some rough things going on right now. But because he lives, and I know he lives.
Amen.
Just ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Doesn't he live in yours? Amen. Let's sing it together. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. because he lives. All fear is gone because I know he holds the future and life is worth a living just because he lives. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, because you live is why every one of us can face tomorrow. And Lord, by grace and through faith, we know that you live. And Lord, we see you living in our hearts and our lives. And what a blessing it is, Lord, to know that you live within us. And then to know the greater is he that's in us than he that's in all the world. And then to know that if God be for us, who can be against us? And what shall separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus? Shall peril or sword or nakedness and famine, all these different things that can happen? No, nothing shall separate us from the love. Oh, nothing shall separate us from the love in Christ Jesus. So, Father, we're so thankful for the word tonight and how many things struck our hearts, Lord, and caused us to think of many other things. How we appreciate it so very much that the word is alive to us. It's real. And Lord, the word is inspired. It's not just words being read. The Father is truly life. You said in your word is spirit and is life. And we feel the life coming from it, Lord. And we're so thankful that through grace and mercy, we're a part of that. We appreciate that with all our hearts. And as we leave now, Lord, come to the close of another little service, we ask that your blessings go with us. Keep us safe, Lord, and keep us in your precious word about everything. Keep us in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. And Lord, bless us. It couldn't be here tonight. And Lord, I'm sure some wanted to be here tonight. But Lord, you knew their hearts, and may you bless them. And Father, if you would tarry till Sunday, and Lord, it'd be your will. Just help us to all come hungry for the word of God again. And Lord Jesus, we can feed on the body word, the Son of Man, knowing, Lord, the truth of this hour. We love you, Father, appreciate you now. Just guide us through all things. We ask in the name of thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise his wonderful name. So if something comes up tomorrow that begins to get you down, just begin to sing. Because he lives, I can face today. Amen. Ain't that right?
Amen.
Amen. May God richly bless you, and God's blessings be with you.